Page 248. Then there entered into the hall the holy grail covered with white samite, but there was none might see it, nor who bear it. And there was all the hall filled with good odors, and every knight had such meats and drinks as he best loved in this world. And when the holy grail had been borne through the hall, then the holy vessel departed suddenly, that they wist not where it became. Then had they all breath to speak. And then the king yielded thankings to God of his good grace that he had sent them. "Certes," said the king, "we ought to thank our Lord Jesu greatly for that he hath showed us this day at the reverence of this high feast of Pentecost." "Now," said Sir Gawain, "we have been served this day of what meats and drinks we thought on, but one thing beguiled us, we might not see the Holy Grail, it was so preciously covered. Wherefore I will make here a vow that to morn, without longer abiding, I shall labor in the quest of the Sun Grail, that I shall hold me out a 12 month and a day, or more if need be, and never shall I return again unto the court, till I have seen it more openly than it hath been seen here. And if I may not speed, I shall return again, as he that may not be against the will of our Lord Jesu Christ." Then they of the Table Round heard Sir Gawain say so. They arose up the most part, and made such vows as Sir Gawain had made. Anon, as King Arthur heard this, he was greatly displeased, for he wist well that they might not again say their avows. "Alas," said King Arthur unto Sir Gawain, "ye have nigh slain me with the avow and promise that ye have made, for through you ye have bereft me the fairest fellowship and the truest of knighthood that ever were seen together in any realm of the world. For when they depart from hence, I am sure they all shall never meet more in this world, for they shall die many in the quest. And so it forthinketh me a little, for I have loved them as well as my life, wherefore it shall grieve me right sore the departition of this fellowship. For I have had an old custom to have them in my fellowship." Page 249. Chapter 8. How great sorrow was made of the king and ladies for the departing of the knights, and how they departed. And therewith the tears fell in his eyen. And then he said, "Gawain, Gawain, ye have set me in great sorrow, for I have great doubt that my true fellowship shall never meet here more again." "Ah," said Sir Launcelot, "comfort yourself, for it shall be unto us a great honor, and much more than if we died in any other places, for of death we be seeker." "Ah, Launcelot," said the king, "the great love that I have had unto you all the days of my life maketh me to say such doleful words, for never Christian king had never so many worthy men at his table as I have had this day at the Round Table, and that is my great sorrow." When the queen, ladies, and gentlewomen wist these tidings, they had such sorrow and heaviness that there might no tongue tell it, for those knights had held them in honor and charity. But among all other, Queen Guinevere made great sorrow. "I marvel," said she, "my lord would suffer them to depart from him." Thus was all the court troubled for the love of the departition of those knights. And many of those ladies that loved knights would have gone with their lovers, and so had they done, had not an old knight come in among them in religious clothing. And then he spake all on high and said, "Fair lords, which have sworn in the quest of the Sun Grail, thus sendeth you Nacien the hermit word that none in this quest lead lady nor gentlewoman with him, for it is not to do in so high a service as they labor in. For I warn you plain, he that is not clean of his sins, he shall not see the mysteries of our Lord Jesu Christ." And for this cause they left these ladies and gentlewomen. After this the queen came unto Galahad, and asked him of whence he was and of what country. Page 250. He told her of whence he was, and son unto Aunt Launcelot she said he was. As to that, he said neither yea nor nay. "So God me help," said the queen, "of your father ye need not to shame you, for he is the goodliest knight, and of the best men of the world common, and of the strain of all parties of kings. Wherefore ye ought of right to be of your deeds a passing good man, and certainly," she said, "ye resemble him much." Then Sir Galahad was a little ashamed, and said, "Madam, sith ye know in certain, wherefore do ye ask it me? For he that is my father shall be known openly and all betimes." And then they went to rest them. And in the honor of the highness of Galahad, he was led into King Arthur's chamber, and there rested in his own bed. And as soon as it was day, the king arose, for he had no rest of all that night for sorrow. Then he went unto Gawain and to Sir Launcelot that were arisen for to hear mass. And then the king again said, Ah, Gawain, Gawain, ye have betrayed me, for never shall my court be amended by you, but ye will never be sorry for me as I am for you. And therewith the tears began to run down by his visage. And therewith the king said, Ah, knight Sir Launcelot, I require thee thou counsel me, for I would that this quest were undone, and it might be. Sir, said Sir Launcelot, ye saw yesterday so many worthy knights that then were sworn that they may not leave it in no manner of wise. That wot I well, said the king, but it shall so heavy me at their departing that I wot well there shall no manner of joy remedy me. And then the king and the queen went unto the minster. So anon Launcelot and Gawain commanded their men to bring their arms, and when they all were armed save their shields and their helms, then they came to their fellowship, which were already in the same wise, for to go to the minster to hear their service. Page 251. Then after the service was done, the king would wit how many had undertake the quest of the Holy Grail, and to account them he prayed them all. Then found they by the tale 150, and all were knights of the Table Round. And then they put on their helms and departed, and recommended them all wholly unto the queen, and there was weeping and great sorrow. Then the queen departed into her chamber, and held her, that no man should perceive her great sorrows. When Sir Launcelot missed the queen, he went till her chamber, and when she saw him she cried aloud, O Launcelot, Launcelot, ye have betrayed me, and put me to the death, for to leave thus my lord. Ah, madam, I pray you be not displeased, for I shall come again, as soon as I may, with my worship. Alas, said she, that ever I saw you. But he that suffered death upon the cross for all mankind, be unto you good conduct and safety, and all the whole fellowship. Right so departed Sir Launcelot, and found his fellowship that abode his coming. And so they mounted on their horses and rode through the street of Camelot, and there was weeping of rich and poor, and the king turned away, and might not speak for weeping. So within a while they came to a city, and a castle that hight Vagon. There they entered into the castle, and the lord thereof was an old man that hight Vagon, and he was a good man of his living, and set open the gates, and made them all the cheer that he might. And so on the morn they were all accorded that they should depart every each from other. And on the morn they departed with weeping cheer, and every knight took the way that him liked best. The word tale in the sentence, then found they by the tale 150, means reckoning. Page 252. Chapter 9, How Galahad Gat Him a Shield, and How They Sped That Presumed to Take Down the Said Shield. Now rideth Galahad, yet withouten shield, and so rode 4 days without any adventure. And at the 4th day after evensong he came to a white abbey, and there was he received with great reverence, and led unto a chamber, and there was he unarmed. And then was he ware of 2 knights of the Table Round. One was Sir Bagdemagus and Sir Uwaine. And when they saw him, they went unto Galahad, and made of him great solace, and so they went unto supper. Sirs, said Galahad, what adventure brought you hither? Sir, they said all, it is told us that within this place is a shield, that no man may bear about his neck, but he be mischief other dead within 3 days, or maimed for ever. Ah, sir, said Sir Bagdemagus, I shall bear it to morn for to assay this adventure. In the name of God, said Galahad. Sir, said Bagdemagus, an I may not achieve the adventure of this shield, ye shall take it upon you, for I am sure ye shall not fail. Sir, said Galahad, I right well agree me thereto, for I have no shield. So on the morn they arose and heard mass. Then Bagdemagus asked where the adventurous shield was. Anon a monk led him behind an altar, where the shield hung as white as any snow, but in the midst was a red cross. Sirs, said the monk, this shield ought not to be hanged about no knight's neck, but he be the worthiest knight of the world, and therefore I counsel you, knights, to be well advised. Well, said Bagdemagus, I wot well I am not the best knight of the world, but I shall assay to bear it. And so bear it out of the minster. And then he said unto Galahad, and it please you to abide here still, till ye wit How That I Speed. Page 253. I shall abide you, said Galahad. Then King Bogdamagus took with him a good squire to bring tidings unto Sir Galahad how he sped. Then when they had ridden 2 mile, and came to a fair valley afore an hermitage, and then they saw a knight come from that part in white armor, horse and all, and he came as fast as his horse might run, and his spear in his rest, and Sir Bogdamagus dressed his spear against him, and brake it upon the white knight, but the other struck him so hard that he brast the mails, and shove him through the right shoulder, for the shield covered him not as at that time, and so he bare him from his horse. And therewith he alit, and took the white shield from him, saying, Knight, thou hast done thyself great folly, for this shield ought not to be borne but by him that shall have no peer that liveth. And then he came to Bogdamagus's squire, and said, Bear this shield unto the good knight Sir Galahad, that thou left in the abbey, and greet him well by me. Sir, said the squire, what is your name? Take thou no heed of my name, said the knight, for it is not for thee to know, nor for none earthly man. Now, fair sir, said the squire, at the reverence of Jesu Christ, tell me for what cause this shield may not be borne, but if the bearer thereof be mischieved. Now, sith thou hast conjured me so, said the knight, this shield behoveth unto no man but unto Galahad. And the squire went unto Bogdamagus, and asked whether he were sore wounded or not. Yea, forsooth, said he, I shall escape hard from the death. Then he fetched his horse, and brought him with great pain unto an abbey. Then was he taken down softly, and unarmed, and laid in a bed, and there was looked to his wounds. And as the book telleth, he lay there long, and escaped hard with the life.